Hi there, and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's program for February the 1st. I'm Veronica DeVorenburn.
You know, I've got two choices. I either actually go through with it, or I say, you know what, I'm too scared right now. I don't want to do it. If I go through with it, I die, as I must at some point. If I don't go through with it, my choice is essentially to suffer and to inflict suffering on my family.
A 2007 film called The Suicide Tourist tells the story of Craig Ewert, an American suffering from the debilitating and ultimately terminal disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. Reliant on a ventilator to breathe, Ewert made the decision to travel to Switzerland to end his life with the assisted suicide organization Dignitas. Dignitas provided him with counseling, a room to die, and the drugs he needed to take to end his life. When the moment came, a Dignitas counselor held a glass of the lethal pink liquid for Ewert because he couldn't hold it himself. But it was up to him to drink it from a straw. He fell asleep listening to Beethoven and passed away peacefully, his wife at his side.
I have a safe journey. I'll see you sometime.
If you drink this, you're going to die. Hmm?
Yes. Yes.
On this week's program, we'll take a closer look at the issue of assisted suicide in Switzerland and abroad, hearing from advisors, patients, advocates, and critics. Because Switzerland is the only country to allow foreigners to come and end their lives, critics say it amounts to a sort of suicide tourism with overly lax policies. Right now, the law is pretty simple. Assisted suicide is legal as long as the dying person carries out the act themselves, and as long as anyone assisting them doesn't benefit from their death. In addition to Dignitas, the organization Exit has assisted suicide counseling centers in several Swiss cities. But Exit only works with Swiss citizens. When Exit's latest center formally opened its doors in Basel, I was there along with other journalists and a massive group of interested people from the community, most of them elderly. The line of people waiting to see the space and get information snaked out of the building, and at times it was hard to make my way through the crowd. Saskia Fry, the president of Exit, told me why she thinks there was so much interest. And it's not because everyone there wanted to die.
It's like homeowners insurance. You probably won't need it, but if there is ever an issue, there could be major damage, and it's comforting to know that you have it. Of course, everyone hopes it will never happen. If you're a member of Exit, you can be comforted because you know that if everything falls apart, you have the organization there to help you. Then you can enjoy life more. The main motivation of our members is the consultation and the living will, and it will continue to be that way.
Later, a couple leaving with informational materials in hand backed up Fry's claim.
I was especially interested in the issue of making a living will. We don't want to just be bedridden and have no control over what happens to us.
We tried filling out a living will, but we didn't know how. So we decided to go somewhere where our intentions would be understood the way we mean them to be.
It's not like 50 years ago, where the whole family was under one roof and took care of each other. Now the kids are gone, no one else is around, and we're alone. So I find a place like this ideal.
While at Exit, I also ran into a South Korean television crew preparing a report for national broadcast. South Korea has the highest suicide rate among the elderly of any country. 4,000 South Koreans over the age of 65 committed suicide in 2011, about 70 of every 1,000 people. The film crew told me it's a very taboo topic to talk about in their country, but that they're trying to learn more about it from the Swiss. In the United States, 5 states now legally allow patients to seek help in dying. Dr. Frank Cavanaugh serves on the advisory board of the Final Exit Network, which gives people information about how they could go about peacefully ending their own lives if they choose to. He says that despite many legal battles, the courts have upheld the group's work in every case because dying is always the patient's choice.
Final Exit Network holds that mentally competent adults who suffer from a fatal or an irreversible physical illness or from intractable physical pain or from a constellation of chronic progressive physical disabilities have a basic human right to choose to end their lives when they judge the quality of their life to be unacceptable. And this right by its nature implies that the ending of one's life is one's choice including the timing and the persons present, and it should be free of any restrictions by the law, by clergy, by medical profession, and even friends and relatives, no matter how well-intentioned they may be. It's important to say that Final Exit Network does not ever encourage anyone to end their life. We're opposed to anyone encouraging another to end his life. We do not provide the means to people to do so, and we do not assist in a person's death physically in any way. We do, however, when they come and apply to us, review their case carefully. They have to submit medical records. Those records are evaluated by a team of three physicians. Somebody then goes and pays them a personal visit and determines that they are mentally competent and rational. And if they then pass all of those tests, so to speak, then we will provide them with the information on how to hasten the end of their life. And today there are methods that are quick and peaceful and painless and take only a couple of minutes. They do not involve the squirreling away of medication and ordering things from China and Mexico and what have you. So it's an entirely different kind of quick and peaceful process today. We take it one more step, Veronica, and we say to them, if you want us to be there with you when you hasten the end of your life, we will do so, because we don't think that anybody should have to die alone. And many people who take this route do it with their families as kind of a living wake, if you will, sort of a joyous celebration of the end of suffering. Many other people, however, don't have agreement in their families, so that if the family knows that they wish to do this, then they may make some effort to hospitalize them for psychiatric observation, you know, take action to them for being a danger to themselves, all of that sort of thing. So some people do wind up doing it all by themselves, and for those folks, we say we will be there with you. We've been tested in court several times and through three different states that have tried to prosecute us, and we have survived all of those, essentially on the idea that there is, in the United States Constitution, there is a First Amendment right of free speech. And we say that all we're doing is providing information and support.
You've told me that a patient must go through a consultation phase with three physicians before getting help from Final Exit. But is there ever a sort of gray area there when it's a patient with mental illness, for example? How do you deal with those situations?
We find that we really have to, on that medical review, have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Because you say, okay, we're ruling out mental illness, you know. And then you come upon people who have a 20-year history of dealing with mental illness, of being hospitalized over and over and over, of going through, shock therapy kinds of treatments, of trying all of these different drugs. Nothing works for them, and they've made their very best effort to try and do that, and they've endured over years and years and years of trying to battle this and still haven't been able to conquer it. And for those people, you can easily make the case that their situation warrants the support.
Many countries around the world have large aging populations. How do you see this issue developing in the coming years as a result?
I think it will become even more of an issue because, you know, we have had tremendous medical advances in the 21st century that prolongs people's lives, but often those lives being prolonged lose their quality, they're not tolerable, individuals get into a state of health where they never intended to be and do not want to be there. And, you know, you take it back a few generations, when people died at an early age, they didn't have to experience all of that. And, you know, just the numbers of places that we have here in the United States in nursing homes and back rooms with Alzheimer's patients strapped to jerry chairs, you know, they never wanted to be there, and those numbers are just growing by leaps and bounds. It's going to be a growing problem just because of all those medical advances that were so well-intentioned and so good and are perfectly appropriate, but they create longer lives and terrible states of health.
That was Frank Cavanaugh of the U.S.-based Final Exit Network speaking with me earlier. Further north, the government in the Canadian province of Quebec has been hotly debating Bill 52, which would make assisted suicide legal there. Those in support of the legislation say it expands the right to die with dignity, while opponents like Canada's Euthanasia Prevention Coalition say it amounts to euthanasia and could lead to coercion of the elderly. A while ago, the coalition's director, Alex Schadenberg, explained his opposition to assisted suicide to SwissInfo.ch's Claire O'Dea.
I will argue that it's absolutely true that we need to, you know, mitigate, eliminate suffering. We need to, you know, make sure that people are comfortable. But we should limit ourselves to non-lethal means to do that. Because once you give someone else the right to cause your death, now you have a serious problem when someone overuses that right or takes that right further. And to legalize euthanasia or assisted suicide isn't about me gaining rights. It's about giving the rights to somebody else to be able to cause my death or be involved in causing my death. Because before you legalize, the law says no one's allowed to be involved with causing another person's death. And there's a very good reason for that. It's called public safety, patient safety. It's called living in a society together where we know that we're protected from each other. And we can live a safe life that way.
The law in Switzerland, it is not about giving the right to somebody else to take your life.
It's about assisted suicide.
It's about allowing a person who wants to die to procure medication to make that possible.
Right. And so in assisted suicide, what makes it different than suicide in itself, is that somebody else is now involved in the act. Somebody else is either providing the means, is either agreeing to provide the means, is possibly involved in counseling to help you do so, certainly might be involved with an organization that promotes this, etc. And so you now have a situation where there is a group of people who are now directly and intentionally involved with the death of other people. So it's not just anymore a situation where somebody decides to kill themselves, how tragic that might be. It's about somebody else now also facilitating that.
According to the Montreal Gazette, Quebec's Bill 52 calls for improvements in palliative care, offering the option of medical assistance to die only in exceptional circumstances and only for patients who have requested it beforehand. Andreas Weber is a palliative care specialist in Zurich, and he says making sure a patient is comfortable can go a long way towards reducing suicide.
In the palliative care setting, there is a place for assisted suicide for those patients who would like to control their life until the end. Because if you die, 9 out of 10 patients, they have a longer or shorter period of laying in the bed, having no force anymore to get up, being more and more losing consciousness slowly on until they go into coma, and there they lose control about what's going on with them. And for this phase of your life or of your dying, you need confidence. You have to trust some people who take care of you during these maybe last hours or last days. And some people don't want to give that period out of their hands. They want to keep control until they stop breathing. And for these patients, I cannot promise them you will die all of a sudden. You know, that for these patients, it's the only way to die is by assisted suicide. I have, as I said, quite a lot of patients who plan to go with exit, but the major part of them doesn't go that way if we offer them good palliative care, because they do not really want to die. Even the control is not really what they want to have. They just don't want to suffer.
That was palliative care physician Andreas Weber. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Devorin-Byrne.